Welcome to the Court Report. I am Jerry Price. I am joined by Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Bankhart. Coach, welcome.
I'm glad to be here.
So you were saying as you walked in that where you come from, February weather is not quite like the weather is in Princeton this week. It is in the 70s today here
it's
in
awesome.
Princeton.
Yeah.
Which I'm a big fan of. You are a New Hampshire native.
Yes.
I don't think I could have lived in a place where it's just the winters are that brutal.
Yeah, in the spring, you don't have a spring, right? It's never really, snow is melting and muddy. And yeah, it's really awesome to be around spring.
But it's still February. It's actually late February, yeah. Which means that you're reaching the stretch drive of your season here. And four regular season games to go. I'm not 100% sure that you've mathematically clinched a spot in the Ivy League tournament, but I think you probably have, given the fact that all the teams behind you are kind of tied. But let's assume that the Ivy League tournament is there, the Ivy League championship is there to be played for with four games to go, and then beyond that, the Ivy League tournament itself, and then beyond that, the postseason. So where is your head now as your team sort of is at this point of the season?
I have to say, truthfully, my head is how much I'm enjoying this particular team. I couldn't give enough credit to our senior leadership. I've been in this business a long time, and I've been a part of a lot of teams, and you just continually reminded the power of senior leadership, and to think that we've got four more regular season, and how much fun I'm having with this team, and how important these games are just makes it even that much more fun.
So if you go back to opening night, which was, I can't even remember, George Washington?
Yeah, okay. good pickup.
If you go all the way back to the George Washington game, it doesn't really seem like it was that long ago. But mm-hmm. It's months now, so it's a very long season.
Yeah.
Does the grind get to you at a certain point, or because you have a few built-in breaks somewhere in December for holidays, there I don't remember what the longest gap was, but there was essentially a big break mm-hmm. with no games, and then also first exam break, which is 3 weeks. I mean, does that get you recharged? Are you tired?
Yeah, I think you try one of the key jobs of basketball coaches is to manage the depth and
I meant you.
Oh, me. Yeah, I would say it's one of my big charges is to stay refreshed and rejuvenated and not ask for others to do that for me. So I do that the best I can. Yesterday, I worked until about 2, and then I picked up my kids and took them to the Philadelphia Aquarium and had dinner right across from the way. And so I try to do things to keep myself rejuvenated and because this team needs me to be at my best. And it is a long season, and you do get tired because you're competing all the time and you're dialed in. And for me, I'm constantly thinking about my team. Are we healthy? Are we fit? Are we strong? Are we rested? Are we ready to compete? So, yeah, managing that is important.
Your team has no player averaging more than 29 minutes a game, which is extraordinary. And I actually didn't go back and look this up, but I'll bet there aren't a lot of teams that you've had that haven't had at least one player averaging 30 minutes a game.
No, I think you're so right. The depth is giving us a lot of help.
And the Ivy League website lists statistics, and one of them is minutes played per game, and number 10 on the list is 32.4. That's three more minutes than your top player, and that's not only the top 10. 11 and 12 have to be Ross and Waketti from Penn, who are 32.3 each. I mean, those are a lot of minutes that people play, and your team not playing those minutes, is that a function of a lot of games that have been one-sided? Is that a thing that you've set out to do? Is that
Yeah.
You were even aware of.
Yeah, no, I'm aware of it. I think it's we play so hard on both ends that it's really hard to sustain a 34-minute a game average with how much I'm asking them to do on both sides of the ball. Obviously, statistically, I thought you wrote a great Tiger blog in terms of promoting the fact that statistically, if you're looking only at points per game without looking at minutes, you're missing a huge part of the story because the Bella's efficiency rating is remarkable, and the best player on the best team should be credited for such. But I give a lot of credit to our depth because we're allowed to play at the pace we play at over the course of this many games because of it. And so we have almost 10 guys averaging double-figure minutes, and this is not charity work I'm doing. I'm competing to win games, and I'm competing to win championships. And the more we can utilize good players, the more – it's like they say in football, like rest your running backs when you can. You want them fresh. So you want three running backs who can all go at it. It's the depth is critical to this particular team, and it's why we're so good.
So if you want to go back to last weekend, that was the conclusion of five games in 8 days, and we talked about that before. You had never gone through that because
yeah.
The Penn game now was on that Tuesday night. But you won all five games. The average margin of victory was significant. Mm-hmm. None of them were it's not fair to say that none of them were competitive. They were competitive games, but mm-hmm. the final score was very one-sided. got to feel pretty good about getting through that.
Man, yeah, it was a lot of basketball. I've watched a lot of basketball in the last 2 weeks, and my team has played a lot of basketball, and they've worn their uniform more often than not. You know, Saturday, we had a long drive from Cornell to Columbia late Friday night, got in after midnight. So we actually foregoed our shoot around at Columbia, which is very rare for an away game. You want to get used to their gym, even for 45 minutes of shots. But I felt the rest was more important. So we taped the floor of the hotel ballroom and did a walkthrough in the hotel and a hefty film session. But it was a long stretch of games. And, you know, again, it goes back to our senior leadership and their competitive energy. I didn't have to coach competitiveness. I got to coach X's and O's.
I mean, that's a rough road trip to go to Columbia on Friday night and then, Cornell on Friday night and then Columbia.
Yeah.
And then the Columbia game was close in the first quarter. Were you thinking it may be catching up to us, or were you just...
No, I think it's, as I try to tell my team this, everyone practices every day. You know, these are Division I athletes across the board. So I think some of our non-conference schedule was so challenging. There were only a few teams that we should have, quote, rolled. And I thought those were good experiences for us to learn that it's a 40-minute game. So don't have to roll them in the first 10. Don't be worried about, God, if the score's close after 10, maybe we're not as good as we thought, or maybe we're not playing as well. Just keep going. And that was a huge lesson and a huge turning point for this team. And as a result, I think we're able to sort of sustain whether we play well. I told them after the Columbia game, you know, Cornell, we just hammered them early. Columbia, we had to sort of sustain a little bit longer. So we've shown that we can win in a lot of different ways. And that, again, speaks to your depth and your leadership. And this team has won in a lot of different ways this year. I hope it keeps going.
So at what point do you start to look at the big picture of, you know, where your team is in the standings, what you need to do to win a championship, even who the other team like might be in the first round of the Ivy tournament, that kind of stuff, where you just focus completely locked in this weekend, which starts Harvard Friday night?
No, it's Dartmouth Friday night, 7 o'clock.
The men are the reverse, though, aren't they?
No, we're all Harvard Saturday.
I thought Harvard was here Friday for the men.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Nope, we got Dartmouth Friday and Harvard Saturday, and both are at 7 for the women. And no, I'm totally locked into this weekend. I mean, if we're getting so much closer, it's kind of a separation weekend. If we can earn a very difficult road sweep, then we basically can almost guarantee we're cutting down nets at home, which I know how hard it is to do. I know it's something we've done a lot here, but it's really hard to do. And so it's kind of a separation weekend that I'll worry about the Ivy tournament when it's that time, and I'll worry about the postseason after that. Right now, it's Dartmouth and Harvard.
So Dartmouth and Harvard tied for third with Yale. So those three teams playing for the last, you assume, two tournament spots. Mathematically, that's not the case, but you know, Penn is a game back of you, and then so Princeton 9-1, Penn is 8-2, and then Harvard, Dartmouth, and Yale all 6-4. And then 8 losses or more for the other team, so they're out of it. But that's a lot for them to play.
Big time. They're starving. They got to get, because they each have Penn.
And they're home.
And they each have Penn and Princeton, and they each have Cornell and Columbia. So on paper, two teams they should lose to and two teams they should beat. And so one of them has to
win one of the games.
Exactly. Yes. So and huge.
But what is the, you know, you handled both of them fairly easily the first time. What does that do for the rematch? Anything? Nothing? Is it, in your mind, you're worried that you think it's going to be easy? In their mind, they're thinking we're, you know, not as bad as we looked in that game?
No, I think this group has been really mature about it. And I think because we've beaten them before, we know we can. And so then it comes down to 50-50 balls. It comes down to execution. It comes down to the things that, it's not like, are we good enough and can we beat them? We know we can. And how we take care of the things that we need to take care of to earn it. You know, we were really accountable to the scout the last time we played them. If they remain as accountable to the scout and they take care of 50-50 balls in the rebounding battle, you know, I like our chances. And this particular team is never overconfident. And finally, they're not underconfident. I think this team kind of has a good sense of who they are and looking forward to battle.
So when you go into a week like this where you have played these teams once already, is your schedule the same as it would be the first time around? And how much of what you're doing is different than what you did the first time when you get ready to play a team because now there's that level of familiarity, or mm-hmm. is it basically just the same exact thing and reinforcing everything exactly the way you did before?
I try to think about what adjustments the other coach might make. In other words, I put myself in their shoes and say, hey, we beat them the last time. What can we do to try to disrupt Princeton in a different way? So I think about the adjustments that I would make, and I try to make sure that my team's prepared for those. But I also don't lose sight of the fact that the way that we were locked into the scout the first time worked really well. And so, you know, what adjustments can we make based on the first game that can make us sharper? You know, it's, for me, it's a game of preparation, and then it's a game of execution. And my job is to prepare them, and their job is to execute it. And so I'm laser focused to the preparation that it will take to beat two very good teams.
And so going back to Dartmouth, obviously you played at Dartmouth, mm-hmm. you coached at Dartmouth. Is it special still, or is it, you know, now?
Yeah, you know,
just,
I've got,
like, another lifetime.
That's a great point. I'm getting old. It does seem like a different lifetime, but there'll be.
It's not age related.
It's a long time. No, it's been that's a huge part of my life. I've got two Ivy League degrees from that institution. It's a place that raised me and gave me a chance both as a player and as a coach. It gave me my first kind of step in the door in this business. So it's a place that's very special for me. I'll probably have, I don't know, I'll probably need 40 tickets in terms of family and old high school friends and old high school teachers. And then, you know, annually the university president up there comes and the AD, and I get treated really well up there. And you know, they're asking if they can, you know, the New Hampshire news station will be miking me up, and they'll be in the locker room. And, you know, anytime that we can share our story, I think it's a good example to do that. And so it is a homecoming trip, but for me, I'll be wearing orange and black really proudly.
So while you were playing Cornell, I was actually going to take a picture of this and send it to you on Friday. I was sitting here in this office where we do the court report each week.
With an orange wall, which I love.
I have the orange wall behind me. I had on my computer your game, and on the TV behind you, I had Denver Duke lacrosse.
Oh, cool. Tierney.
And that game started at 5, and your game started at, I don't even remember what time your game started.
6, maybe? I don't either. That was a lifetime ago, last week.
And what was weird to me is there was nobody in the building. And here was a Friday in February. And like,
oh, right, because the men were away too.
The men were away as well. And so it was weird to me, because if you had been home, or if the men had been home, I would have watched the lacrosse game and gone upstairs and watched the basketball game. I ended up going over and watching the hockey game in the rink. But it was just strange that Jadwin was kind of quiet on Friday night.
Yeah.
So what is – I know you like the doubleheaders, and I know you like playing first. What – do you think that will ever come to be? Like, what do the other women's coaches think?
Yeah. I think we all like it. I think the challenge is what the men want, because the men get a shortened warm-up, right? So they only get 30 minutes after the tip. And now this particular game with the men, I felt awful about. We played at 6, so they didn't start till about 8:30. It's, as you know, it's a 4.5-hour ride. And it was a triple overtime game. They didn't get in until after 3 a.m., and they have to play Columbia at you know, 6 p.m. the next day. So our time, I think, should have been bumped up. But I like it in terms of also these institutions are overstretched in terms of their administrative support, so kind of dive in for 3 full weekends as opposed to, you know, 6 straight. But I get to play on the front end, so nothing is affected on my end. I get to warm up the full warm-up. I get to... which I think is a big deal for the men, that they don't get to do that. So, you know, I don't know.
But I would think if it ever came to be doubleheaders, that they would probably be a sense of
shift
wanting
the
to
time.
Have the men play first sometimes and the women play second.
Then
sometimes.
I wouldn't like it.
I know you wouldn't like it.
Right.
I think,
so that's why I say I don't know if the men would be on board.
I was actually thinking, do I like it or not? Because I would have liked if there was a basketball game going on up here. But I appreciate that everybody else didn't, you know, who works here didn't have to do all the things that they had to do for mm-hmm. basketball, and they all got a weekend. Where
yeah. It's also 4 shoot-arounds, and shoot-arounds are important for the listeners that are just listening kind of as a fan of basketball. Is the, you know, the shoot-arounds are important to get in the other team's gym, you know, get used to their lighting and their floor and their rooms and the views. And so we shot around, I want to say, at like 10 a.m. or something for a 7 o'clock. You know, it's just because we're trying to get 4 teams in there to shoot around. So it does adjust your times a little bit differently than it would if it was just 2 of you.
Okay, so I just looked it up while you were talking. And the men actually do play Harvard on Friday and Dartmouth on Saturday, because the Harvard game is an ESPNU game. So I think because of that, the other teams agreed to switch it so that game could be on TV. But it's I looked on your schedule, and you're definitely
interesting.
Dartmouth.
I was going to say, I hope I'm definitely Dartmouth. Yeah, I've got family coming, so I got to tell them if it's changed.
That was always my fear when I was the men's basketball contact, and we used to travel, and it would be me and Tom McCarthy, who was he was our radio guy then, and he's at with the Phillies now on TV, and he's doing all these NFL and NCAA games, and then Mark Heckel would cover for the Trenton Times when he was still work there. He's retired and living in Myrtle Beach now. So that was a long time ago, too. But our fear was always we were going to show up, pick a school, we were going to show up at Dartmouth
but
on a Friday night,
be there.
And then Penn would be there and not Princeton.
God.
And we'd be like, oh, no, we got it backwards. So it's it, it unless I am not reading the schedule on the webpage right, it is Harvard men here at Jadwin.
Wow.
Friday night. That's a 7 o'clock start on ESPNU. They'll play Dartmouth on Saturday.
Okay. And we are
then
flipped.
On the women's side, it's Dartmouth Friday and Harvard Saturday.
Wow.
A lot to play for your team.
Big time.
Playing for championships I know, I don't know if to ask you this, I know that the advent of the Ivy League tournament has not lessened for you the importance of wanting to win the Ivy League championship.
Yeah, that's first and foremost. I think on record, I know we'll probably talk about it on our future podcast, but the NCAA tournament bid should go to the regular season champion, you know, and so, but more importantly, I just think for us to try to go through this 14 game gauntlet and to be able to be the best team in the Ivy League means a whole heck of a lot for this year and forever. So that's what we're going for.
So huge games for your team. One thing I did not look up, I should have, was what time your games are.
Both are at 7. Brutal. I'm going to be – that's late. Both are at 7 because of TV. The Saturday night game will be on Anesson up north. So
7 o'clock Friday night at Dartmouth for the women. The men are home with Harvard. The men are home with Dartmouth Saturday. The women at Dartmouth, 7 o'clock Friday. The women at Harvard, 7 o'clock Saturday. Huge games for Penn at the opposite sites. Huge games for all four teams.
Big time.
Could very well be the four teams in the Ivy League tournament, although Yale is still very much in the mix, tied with Harvard and Dartmouth for third place. So we'll see how this weekend sorts itself out with those games, and we'll talk about that next week. In the meantime, enjoy the warm weather if you get a chance.
There you go. That's right. Rejuvenate.
And it's supposed to rain for the next, 5 days.
Well, I'm going up north, and it's probably going to be snowy and muddy, so that's how I roll.
Well, Courtney Bankhart, thanks for being with us again.
I love it, Jared. Thanks.
This has been The Court Report. Jerry Price, once again, for Courtney Bankhart. We thank you for being with us, and we thank you once again for your support of Princeton women's basketball.